The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
When we're meditating, well, actually, anytime when we're in our daily lives, sometimes it can seem like our thoughts are kind of out of our control. You know, that we do have the capacity to decide what we're thinking at times, but sometimes it seems like our thoughts just kind of come unbidden, and that we're kind of at the mercy at times of our thoughts. And we sometimes, I think many of us at least, have the sense that some of these unbidden thoughts can be really connected to the ways that we struggle, the ways that we find ourselves in states of unease or dissatisfaction or states of stress. And so last week, somebody asked a question. We had a question and answer period last week, and somebody asked a question about thoughts. And I began to answer the question, and then the time ended, and I had so much more that I thought would be helpful to say. I decided to give the whole talk tonight on awareness of thoughts. And so I just restate the questions from last week. First of all, is it possible to get in tune with how thoughts impact the body? And secondly, is it possible, perhaps, to be able to gently control our thoughts? So tonight, I'd like to explore in particular this question of becoming aware of thoughts while we're meditating. And not next week, because I'll be away next week. The following week, I should be, I'll be here the following week. So in 2 weeks, I'm going to also speak about what it means to work with thoughts in our daily lives, which is a big area, I think, that we struggle around working with thoughts in a skillful way. So I want to cover those two topics, but not try to do them both tonight. So tonight I'm just going to talk about, or not just, tonight I'm going to talk about how we can work with and explore thoughts in our meditation. So sometimes people can think of, think that what meditation means, you know, the sitting in silence and connecting to our breathing, that if we are meditating properly, then we won't have any thoughts. That can sometimes be what people think of as a good meditation. And so, and certainly there are times when thoughts fall away in our meditation, and those tend to be times when it feels pretty good. You know, when we find ourselves in a place where the mind gets quiet and still and there's not a lot of random stray thoughts going on, it tends to feel pretty good. And I think that's part of the reason why we think of that as being the way it's supposed to be when we're meditating. But really in our practice, you know, in the practice of concentration, where we're trying to stabilize the mind and quiet the mind, there we tend to let go of thoughts and come back to our object of meditation, the breath, or whatever we're focusing on. In our mindfulness practice, and these two practices can blend together, in our mindfulness practice we don't, we're not necessarily trying to stop thinking, but we are trying to become aware of the fact of thinking. The fact that thinking is happening. And this is a key distinction, this difference, that in fact this is one of the key things that we need to learn how to explore and understand. What is the difference between thinking when we're lost in thought, when we're following a train of thought or hooked into a fantasy or stream of story? What's the difference between that and being aware that thinking is happening? There's a clear sense, there can begin to be a clear sense of a difference, that we can be aware of thinking while it's happening, and not be hooked into the story of the thinking. So there's a vast difference between these two. In the when we're going along with the thinking, when we're not terribly mindful or aware of the fact of thinking happening, very often what's going on is that our mind is being pulled in the direction of kind of subconscious tendencies that are motivating the thinking or that are being created by the thinking. So for instance, if you're kind of lost in a story around what somebody said to you during the day that hurt your feelings, probably you're being kind of almost at the mercy of the emotional response that's going on as those thoughts are going through. You know, that we remember the situation and then our heart starts to pound and we start to think, well, what should I have said, should have done differently? I should have said this or should have really, you know, gave it to him here. And, you know, we kind of work ourselves up in a way. Almost these patterns of emotional connection to the way we think, they hook so quickly that it is as if we're at the mercy of our emotion and thought connection. And so when we're not consciously aware of thinking, often we're being pulled around in these subconscious or habitual kinds of patterns. When we begin to become aware of thinking, when we come notice, oh yeah, there's angry thoughts arising right now, it gives the subconscious patterns less of an opportunity to work. And it almost kind of, you know, it's like we can take a step back. It's almost like a step removed from the reactivity, when we can recognize, oh yeah, there's angry thoughts coming up. This, in fact, has been noticed in some psychological research, that if you are kind of identifying or noticing a pattern that's happening, if you are having thoughts of fear or of anger, for instance, and you recognize that as angry thoughts or fearful thoughts, if you use that kind of almost a labeling in your mind to notice that, oh, there's angry thoughts happening right now, then what the research showed is that it begins to engage the higher level cortex of the brain. So it brings in a different kind of circuitry into play. And it allows there to be not quite as much of the emotional hook into those thoughts is at a deeper layer in the brain, perhaps in the limbic system. And those kind of that kind of circuitry is kind of offset by the fact that we recognize at a conscious level that this pattern is happening. So the distinction between being caught in thinking or pulled into the story or going along with the fantasy and being aware that a fantasy is happening or being aware that these angry thoughts or these fearful thoughts are happening, it's huge. It's a huge difference and is a key way that we can begin to kind of unhook from some of the ways that our mind gets kind of pulled into its habitual patterns. So this is what I'd like to explore a little bit. First, the first piece I'd like to explore tonight is just what does it mean to be aware while thinking? What does it mean to wake up to the fact that thinking is happening? This is kind of a first step. The first question that was asked last week was, is it possible to get in tune with how thoughts impact the body? And that is possible. I talked about that a little bit last week. But it's actually kind of the first step, stepping back from that question a little bit, is how is it possible to first of all become aware that we're thinking? While thinking is happening. So just to begin to explore that. So one of the easiest places to begin to recognize that we're thinking while we're thinking, just the beginning recognition, is when we wake up in our meditation, you know, when we come back into our awareness. So we're sitting in meditation and we get lost, our mind goes off wandering in thought, and we're not particularly aware at that point. But at some point in that process, mindfulness comes back, and there we are. We've woken up into thought. Sometimes what happens in that moment, or often what happens in that moment, is that we're so in a hurry to get back to what we were paying attention to before that we kind of lose the opportunity in that moment to check into, well, what is it like to be aware while thinking is happening? Or what does it mean to recognize thinking mindfully? So in that moment when you remember about mindfulness, it's really helpful to take that moment to acknowledge what you have woken up into. And I suggested this in the guided meditation, just taking a moment to acknowledge, okay, thinking is happening. And it can be very helpful in that moment to also see if you can kind of tune into a category of thinking that's happening. You know, we all have, but there's some various categories that we all play out in our minds. You know, there's the category of past thinking. You know, there's remembering. There's a category of future thinking, of planning. There's kind of variation or gradations on those, depending on what we're remembering or planning about. There may be judgment involved. So we may be, the flavor, the main flavor of the thinking may have a judging quality to it. Or it might be more present moment-oriented thoughts where you're describing what's happening right now, that your thoughts are going on just describing, oh, this is what's happening right now. I'm walking into this store and there's all these people here. Actually, we do this a lot. We describe, we kind of narrate our way through life. And this kind of thinking it's kind of a subtler form of thinking in a way that sometimes on retreat people start reporting, well, I'm thinking more than I used to be thinking. I'm thinking, you know, when I first got here, there were these thoughts that would come in every now and then, but now it seems like I'm just thinking all the time and I'm describing what I'm doing all day long. Well, that's a kind of it's almost a form of thinking that's quieter or subtler, that kind of thinking. And once the kind of more charged thinking of what they did or what they said or what I should say or what I should do, once the more charged kind of thinking begins to settle, then we begin to notice this subtler level of thinking that happens. So it can be helpful to notice what kind of thinking you're doing when you wake up in your meditation, when you come back into mindfulness in your meditation. And just using a single kind of word to kind of highlight that. Okay, judging is happening, remembering is happening, describing is happening, planning is happening, or angry thoughts are happening, or just whatever, you know, whatever is happening. What are some others? So that's kind of the past thoughts, the future thoughts, and the present thoughts. And then there's a kind of another category of thoughts, which are they're less charged in a way. They're more. It's almost like that we can distinguish between different kinds of thoughts, where some thoughts have kind of more of a charge to them, and it's almost like we're charging out of the present moment to think about those things. We remember that thing in the past and it kind of triggers us and we think, oh, I really need to pay attention. I need to figure that out. And we go back into the past and try to rewrite the past with our thoughts. Or something, you know, that's coming up that we're really anxious about and our thoughts kind of keep going there. Oh, I need to figure that out. I need to figure that out. So there's sometimes where it really feels like the mind is kind of charging out of the present moment in order to think. At other times, it's more like the mind just kind of drifts out of the present moment. I'm sure some of you have experienced this in meditation, you know, where you're sitting there meditating and it's just kind of like your mind just kind of almost moves into a daydream or, you know, just almost dreamlike images or something. And it's just almost that there's not quite enough energy in the mind to keep you present. And so the mind just drifts off into this kind of daydreamy or drifty or wandering kind of thought that doesn't have much charge to it. So these are different kinds of thinking. And I want to address them, talk about them in different ways, how we can wake up to them in different ways, because the more charged kind of thinking, that tends to be what happens more perhaps earlier in a sitting or earlier in a process of practice. You know, if you go on a retreat, the early days in the retreat are more likely to have that charged kind of thinking. The later days in the retreat are more likely to have that wandering or drifting kind of thinking. But they're going to be blended all through. But in any case, there's kind of different ways to explore each of those. So I'll talk about them each separately. So with the active kind of thinking, kind of, you know, where we feel like we're charging out of the present moment. The first thing, really begin to recognize the category of thinking, as I just mentioned. This begins to help us recognize kind of patterns of thoughts that we have. You might then begin to recognize, wow, you know, most of the time when I wake up into the mind charging out of the present moment, I'm planning. My mind is planning. I'm thinking about the future and trying to figure it out and make sure that everything's going to be okay in the future. Or maybe you tend to recognize, oh, actually, I'm most of the time in the past trying to figure out what I should have said and what I should have done, almost like there's regret going on. So there, you know, you may begin to see in your own mind some patterns there. As we recognize the patterns, you know, as I said a little while ago, recognizing the pattern almost lets us take a step back from that pattern. Just recognize, okay, planning is happening or remembering is happening. Rather than being caught in the full-blown content of the planning, we're recognizing the mind is planning right now. So this is waking up into thinking, recognizing a little bit about the content, but not kind of going along with the story. So again, it lets us take a step back from it. So this can begin to help us disconnect a little bit from the emotional undertone that often accompanies these strong thoughts. And that stepping back from that emotional undertone can allow the thought to dissipate somewhat. Kind of naturally, as we just recognize, okay, yep, planning is happening. Just recognizing that without being involved in the details of the planning, without kind of following along the details of the planning, it's almost like it allows the planning energy to disperse on its own by just recognizing, okay, yep, planning is happening. It's like you disengage the gears of in a car. You know, when the gears are engaged and you've got your foot on the gas pedal, things are you're feeding it. The momentum keeps going. And if we're engaged with the content of the thinking and following along in that content of the thinking, that's like we've got our foot on the gas pedal and we're engaged. And when we start to recognize, oh, planning is happening, that's beginning to disengage the gears. So it allows the momentum of that planning energy to begin to naturally dissipate on its own. So this is one way that we begin to gain just a tiny little bit of what we might call control over our thoughts. Now, from the question, you know, is there a way that we can gently control our thoughts? This is one way. It's not so much an active trying to control and direct the thoughts, but it is a recognizing, okay, this is what's happening, and that very recognition allows that to begin to dissipate. So it begins to allow the mind to settle down. So it's kind of a natural way of controlling thoughts, to just simply be aware of them, consciously mindful of them. And this simple tool of acknowledging the type of thinking can be very powerful there. A few other things that might be interesting to check into in this kind of situation of a charged kind of thinking. Just to see, you know, your mind is doing all kinds of things while it's wandering off into this scenario. Who's your audience for these thoughts? You know, we'll have different audiences for our thoughts. Sometimes, you know, we're proclaiming things to, you know, our parents, or, you know, we're you know, giving a lecture to somebody at work, or, you know, it's so who's the audience for our thoughts? That can be an interesting thing to recognize. And checking in also, is this necessary? You know, are these thoughts necessary right now? Another thing to explore here is whose voice is speaking in these thoughts. Sometimes it's our own, but sometimes it can be, you know, the voice of some kind of authority. You know, you shouldn't do that, or so there might be some of that. We can begin to recognize some of the charge that's coming may be coming because it's connected with an old relationship. You know, those thoughts may be connected with an old relationship. So again, recognizing these things is beginning to become aware of thinking and the process of thinking in your mind, becoming aware of who the audience is and whose voice is this thinking in. So these are things that you can explore in this kind of charged kind of thinking. Another thing to check into when the thinking is charged is to, you know, connect with or see if you can acknowledge an emotion that may be coming along for the ride with those thoughts. So if you're having, you know, thoughts about, you know, telling somebody off, you know, maybe there's some anger in there. And often when thoughts are charged like that, if they're strong, there is often an emotion that's associated or coming along for the ride. And it can be really helpful to acknowledge that emotion. Sometimes I find that it's almost like the emotion is kind of sending up flare signals. And that's, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. You know, I want you to notice me, this emotion there. You know, it's like a little kid, you know, screaming for attention. And the way that our thoughts know how to get our attention is to produce thoughts. So sometimes when an emotion is really strong, it can produce thoughts. And if we acknowledge our thoughts, you know, that's often actually what the emotion is kind of begging for in a way. And if we acknowledge our emotions, if we acknowledge the emotions, then sometimes that emotion is kind of like, oh, thank you for paying attention to me. It's kind of like, you know, when a kid is, you know, hey, mommy, 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 mommy. And you finally go, yes. You know, they go, oh. They don't know what to say. I mean, they just basically wanted attention. And it can kind of be like that with our emotions and our thoughts, that if we turn our attention to our emotion, sometimes the thoughts quiet down. So this sometimes brings up the question for people about, you know, thoughts and emotions, because I just talked about emotions producing thoughts. And they do. I mean, that you'll notice that if an emotion arises, we can see the thoughts churning. And one of my teachers gives this beautiful analogy. He says sometimes thoughts come off of emotion like mud comes off a flywheel. And so if the flywheel is spinning, and if there's mud on it, it's like the mud will just go flying off of it. So that kind of can be the way things are with with thoughts and emotions. So emotions can produce thoughts. But it's a cycle. Thoughts can also produce emotions. So sometimes people will say, well, which comes first, the thought or the emotion? And it depends. You know, that there's often, you know, you're kind of in meditation. You know, you're minding your business, you're paying attention to your breathing, and you know, your mind drifts off a little bit. You lose a little bit of the energy and your mind drifts off. And initially it's just a little bit of drifting, and the mind starts drifting, thinking about what did I do today and where did I go and who, oh, I saw that person. Oh yeah, that person said that thing. Oh, they shouldn't have said that thing. And poo, an emotion kicks up. You know, you're sitting there minding your own business and a thought comes in and then boom, you're pulled off into that emotion. So thoughts can also trigger emotions. So this is another aspect of the exploration around thoughts, is seeing the kind of cause and effect link between thoughts and emotions. So we can explore this also in our experience. With these charged thoughts as well, since they're often connected with emotions, there's often a physical manifestation in the body that's coming along for the ride with the thoughts and the emotions. So that's another thing that we can explore, and this touches in a little bit to the question that was asked last week about can we recognize or get in tune with how thoughts impact the body. So this is one way, is that when we see that thoughts and emotions are interrelated, when there's an emotion, there's almost always some kind of physical impact on the body. You know, so you might notice when you're having thoughts about, you know, telling somebody off, that there's a contraction in the area of the heart, or a clenching in the stomach, or a tightening in the jaw, so that there is this impact between thoughts, emotions, and body. So I'm going to talk about that more in a little bit, because I want to kind of cover the whole terrain here. So that's a little bit of exploring thoughts when they are more charged, beginning to wake up and recognize, oh, this is, thinking is happening when there is that more charged kind of thinking. Now, what about this other kind of thinking, the other kind of thinking where it's more just a drifting off, you know, a wandering out of the present moment where there isn't too much charge? So drifting, daydreaming, wandering, that kind of experience. Sometimes that, you know, as I just mentioned, you know, sometimes that can be how our mind leaves the present moment, you know, just a drifting off, and then we stumble into something that's charged as we're drifting, and then the thoughts start to kind of take off. But at times we can just drift and don't particularly hit anything that's charged, and then sometime in that drifting we'll wake up, we'll recognize, oh yeah, I've been thinking. So how to work with that kind of thought? What can we do there? Actually, sometimes we don't even recall at that moment. Sometimes we don't even recall what we were thinking. So the content is harder to connect with in that moment. You know, when we're just drifting or kind of daydreaming, we wake up and, you know, we're just kind of like, we're back, and it's like, well, I'm awake now, but I have no idea what I was just thinking about. So if that, you know, you don't have to try to label it then as, you know, remembering or planning or judging. You know, it's just like, oh, thinking or drifting, you know, daydreaming was happening. So I want to just do a brief little exploration of a way to begin to connect with thoughts that are not too charged. And you may find that some charged thoughts come up in this next time, but we're just gonna be exploring kind of how thoughts arise for us. You know, that thoughts will appear in different ways at different times, and so that's part of the exploration I'd like to do. We'll do it for maybe 5 minutes or so. So just letting yourself settle into a relaxed posture. And we'll take just a moment to just connect with your body and your breath. And now, for the next few minutes, I'd like you to count each thought as it comes up. So you just, you know, kind of hang out waiting, allowing your mind to be almost like a clear screen or a blank slate. And anytime a thought appears, just count it. And then go back to this clear screen or blank slate. There's no need to count the counting as a thought. In this process, let yourself attune to how your thoughts are noticed. They may appear as words, as if you're speaking to yourself, or as images, or both. Just count each thought as it appears. And if you wake up into a kind of an elaborate thought, just count that as one thought and continue. So just a few of you, if you wouldn't mind saying, what did you notice? How did you notice your thoughts? You could actually just call this out. We don't need to use the mic for this. Just call it out and I'll repeat it. Yeah.
Well, since the mind is a sense organ, it's always going, and just things replace each other.
So there was kind of a sense of things following after things, so kind of a sense of flow or replacing.
I'm listening, and it's the sense that I have a little bit of hunger, and there's the sense that, you know, just...
Mm-hmm. So kind of things replacing other things.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anyone have any comments? Yeah. Uh-huh.
A picture in my head went by, and then I attached thoughts to it.
So you saw an image, and then there was, and the thoughts, were the thoughts then in a, like you were speaking to yourself, or?
I was in my mind wondering what had gone by and what it meant. So I was applying meaning to it.
Okay, so you saw the image first, and then there was some kind of reflection happening. But it doesn't sound like you were quite...
It wasn't labeling what it actually was. No,
right,
was,
right. It was actually another thought.
Right. About the actual image.
And do you know how that happened? Was it like you were talking to yourself in your mind, or as if, you know, like you were sub-vocalizing that, or...
No, it didn't come up for me. think it came from within. So it was more of a, I was probably focusing on my breath, and then something, it was pretty.
So that was the image. That was the image, but the bringing the meaning in afterwards. Do you know how that appeared in your mind as a thought? It's okay not to know.
Don't know.
Okay. Anyone else? Yeah. So you were noticing images then, it sounds like.
Some thoughts too, that, but it's just sort of a recap of the day.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Kind of without any particular order.
Right, Anybody else have any comments? Yeah.
And if I started, I thought for about 3 minutes, and then I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be counting. So I went into an elaborate process of going back to the beginning of 5 minutes.
So she noticed that she at the beginning she kind of got lost into an elaborate kind of thought and then woke up and realized, oh, she was supposed to be counting, and so went back to the beginning and tried to kind of figure out the whole process. Yeah. Uh-huh. Anybody else? How many of you had, yeah, sorry?
I had some self-inventory going on because I was aware of the monitoring that I was doing and noticing the monitoring. Just that I noticed that I was taking an inventory of what was going on. Is there a thought? That sort of thing. And then thinking, I don't think I have enough fingers because I was counting things by...
Oh, on your fingers,
So that I didn't have to cope with numbers. So that it was like, oh. And then, it's like you don't have enough. And then I got distracted because I fell back into being with my breath, and it was very cozy.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to yank myself out of that. So there was these tasks that happened. A little bit of cognition with each of those tasks where I thought, you're not supposed to be getting all cozy like this. Pay attention.
Did you count that as a thought?
I ran out of fingers.
Oh. So did you notice how your thoughts appeared for yourself? Whether they were, it was as if you were speaking to yourself or as if...
The monitoring things were sort of like of speaking, like check, double check, that kind of thing. But when I noticed the physical comfort of my breath, it was this more primitive kind of reaction where it didn't have a voice, but it...
So a subvocal was, or, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely was a thought, but it was not a word thought.
Okay, so she noticed that there were times when she had a clear recognition of a vocalized thought, almost subvocal thought, and other times it seemed more primitive, almost just, almost more of a felt sense of a thought, it sounds like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to say that probably this is about the best little meditation I've ever had, because I was supposed to be thinking. Of course, when you said the blank slate, it just felt like it came over my forehead, and I just wasn't thinking. I counted to 11. I was doing what Reed did, But it was so nice that I was given permission, really, because I'm contrary to not good. It was just so. I mean, I think 11 is not too many at that time. Usually, it's like this.
So that's beautiful. So she noticed that. When I suggested that, she allow thinking and just let her mind be like a blank screen and wait for the thoughts to come, that she noticed there weren't many thoughts, and that she could, that it actually gave her a beautiful, quiet meditation to have the permission to think. So that's a good thing to recognize, actually. So one thing I want to highlight here is just, so how many of you had the sense or had some kinds of thoughts which were almost like you were speaking to yourself? Like the sub-vocalization. So quite a few of you had those kind. How many of you had image kinds of thoughts? Okay, quite a few of you had those. How many of you had thoughts as if somebody was speaking to you, like a radio was playing? Okay, so nobody had those. Okay, so you had that. And then how many had thoughts? Oh, so then there's, with the images, there can be different kinds of image thoughts that I've experienced. So sometimes the image is like a still picture. How many of you had still picture images? Okay. Sometimes it's a moving image. How many of you had moving images? Okay, some of you. Any of you have full-blown movies with the sound involved too? Yep, okay. And music. We had some music too. And then, so, and another way actually, the kind of more rare, I think, but did anybody see thoughts as if you were reading the written word? No. Did you? No, okay. I've had that happen to me maybe two or three times, but one of my friends says that that's one of his most common ways. So it's like you're seeing an image. It's an image, but the thought like is like, you know, this is what I'm thinking, written out, and you even will know the font that it's in. You know? Like, and you saw the words,
well, or
the image of blueberries and yogurt?
Yeah, I saw them, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it went away, and then I went, it was blank.
So that's the next thing to get to, but let me get to that in just a minute. So there's so many different ways that our thoughts happen in our minds. And if we can, in particular in this kind of drifty, dreamy kind of state, kind of connect with the way thinking is happening in our minds as opposed to the content, then that can be a really helpful way to acknowledge the thinking. So for myself, when I have that kind of thought, I wake up into daydreams, for example, and they're images, I acknowledge that by recognizing or noting to myself, seeing is happening. Now, I know that I'm not really seeing. You know, it's not that it's really I seeing, but it's kind of a mental image. And for me, that acknowledgement of that kind of just begins to cut through the pull into that dreamy state and just, oh, yeah, okay, seeing is happening. You know, that there's an image going on in my mind right now. And sometimes if the what I've seen happen is I'll notice, oh, there's an image coming up, and just notice, oh, seeing is happening. And then a moment later, another image comes up related to that last one. I had this happen on one retreat where an image came up of, I had been visiting in the Czech Republic. I'd been in Prague, and an image came up of where I had been visiting in Prague. And then I noted that as seeing. And then the next image came up of another place in Prague, and I noted that as seeing, and that disappeared. And then another one came up. And I think seven of these images came up. And then the last image was seeing an image of a friend who I had been talking to about having this trip to Prague. So, you know, I was kind of seeing the associative nature of how these thoughts happen, but I was able to just be with each one and notice. It was kind of like watching a slideshow. You know, oh, seeing. Oh, there's that image, beautiful picture of Prague, and then that one goes away. And, oh, here's another one. Oh, there it is, seeing. And just right there, being able to just stay present for it. So it doesn't have to be a problem. It doesn't have to be a conflict. Yeah, question. And use the mic for this one. Yeah.
At times, I will come up with a thought, and instead of focusing on that, the thing that's really present is how my emotions are and how I'm feeling about that thought.
Yes.
And it sometimes will overtake the thought, and I won't remember how I got there. And yes. Other times I'll remember, but I tend to root from the emotion often. This
yes.
happens
if,
all the time
if,
with me.
And if you're experiencing the emotion, that's what to bring your attention to. You don't worry about the thoughts or whatever. I mean, if that's what's obvious for you. And often those kinds of, those kinds of thoughts do tend to have a little bit more juice to them So, you know, I talked about that part earlier. So, yeah, if you're experiencing when you wake up into thoughts, if there's an emotional content, grounding in the emotion is a great way to go.
Yeah, and they are early on usually. You know, it's right at the start.
Right at the start of the meditation.
And sometimes there's several in a row, and then they kind of subside.
Yes, exactly. And so this is what happens. This is the other piece to notice. And how many of you noticed that when you counted a thought, what happened when you counted a thought? It went away. Anybody else have that experience? So this process of bringing the attention to thinking generally tends to make the thoughts dissipate. So that's another thing to recognize about becoming aware of thinking. It tends to make it be fewer and further between. So it gives us a little bit more space in our minds to just to be able to acknowledge it. And we don't have to be at war with our thoughts. We just simply acknowledge it. Oh, there's a thought. Okay, yep. Ooh, and we can just watch it go away. That watching it go away can actually be a beautiful kind of opening. You know, I at one point began to recognize, oh, if I just see a thought and watch it disappear, what is that space after a thought ends? You know, it's a pretty nice space to be in. So that's another exploration we can make around thoughts. So let's see. Why don't we take some questions before I go on? Are there any questions or comments? Yes, behind you.
I can understand if a person is depressed, why they'd want to disengage from a series of thoughts, because a lot of that has to do with being depressed, is your thoughts. But as a writer, I may not want to disengage. I become very focused. I'm writing book A, book C, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and I don't want to become disengaged. I want to stay very focused and go for it. So is basically this whole, what you're trying to do is a series of disengagements, let's say. Let's just use that word. Is effective in some places, but in other places it may not be what I want at all.
Well, indeed. I mean, we need to use thoughts in our daily lives. And if you're a writer, if you're a computer programmer, if you're pretty much, you know, doing any kind of a job, we need to engage with our thoughts. And so that's what I'm going to talk about next week, is how to engage with our thoughts skillfully. So tonight I was talking more about meditation. And I can see, I mean, what happens sometimes in meditation, and you may use your meditation this way, I'm not sure, you know, that if as the mind settles, it kind of can open a space of creativity, and then you can just kind of let your thoughts go and kind of follow along as the story writes itself, essentially. So I don't know if you use your meditation in that way. So that's, you know, that's, there's quite, there's a, that that's for you to judge, essentially, whether you know, when you're doing meditation, what is the purpose of that meditation? Is that purpose of that meditation to take you into a space of creativity? Or is the purpose of the meditation to take you into a space of letting go and becoming more quiet and giving your mind a break for a while? So, it depends for yourself on that. One thing I will point to here in that is that the meditation itself, you know, the settling itself is kind of what gives the space. If you use your meditation to put you into a space of creativity, you know, that quieting and stilling of the mind is what opens you to that space of creativity. And so you might just explore, you know, what it might mean to follow that thread of quieting further and see what happens. Just from time to time, you know, that there's some new terrain that you can touch into if you allow the quieting to happen. So there are definitely times when we need to engage with thoughts, absolutely. And I will talk about that more next week. Do you have any follow-on that you'd like to?
No follow-up. The only point I would make is that my contention would be that there is no feelings without thought, that basically human beings are image or thought people that distinguishes basically us from other mammals in the universe. And that without thought, we really don't have emotions, because especially emotions that are highly charged, because they're usually almost always highly charged with some kind of extreme thought process. So they're not disconnected in a way at all. I see them very, very connected.
Well, that's what I was talking about, this emotion-thought-emotion cycle. And I have seen times where emotions come without thoughts. So there are, I think, in that kind of deepening and quieting of the mind, you can actually see that there are times that emotions can come without thoughts. And then they may quickly move into the terrain of thoughts. And as you say, when emotions are highly charged, there's almost always a feedback loop with thoughts. There is, very much so. But I have experienced emotions without thoughts. Yeah. And could you work with the mic? Could you have the mic, pass the mic over? And this should be the last one. We have only a minute or two left.
I'm just thinking and responding to you. I've had moments where I've had a visceral reaction, and I don't know why.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, is this thing on?
It
is. It's not on.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
And I don't know why. And sometimes I'll back up my thinking and say, well, wait a minute, you know, how did this get here? And then I'll find out that it's maybe something that's free-floating around me, or something that I've been thinking about. So I think
that
you can have that reaction without thought. You know, there's a visceral, my body is doing something.
And babies, I think, too, you know, there is an emotional kind of sense in babies, and their thinking process is very undeveloped. But there's cognitive processes going on. So we might call it pre-verbal, you know, that there are pre-verbal kinds of thoughts or subconscious kinds of thoughts that will put us into the terrain of this visceral kind of reaction. But yeah, I mean, you know, seeing certain things, I think somebody commented about this the other day, you know, that seeing a snake, for instance, has a very visceral kind of responding in our body. It's like, you know, the sight of a snake, it almost doesn't have to go through the the process in the thinking process to identify that's a snake. You know, it can be a kind of a direct hit. But very often, I mean, to come back to your point, very often emotions are coming out of even very subtle kinds of thoughts. You know, that there's a way in which the terrain of the mind, the landscape of the mind, it's been conditioned into expecting certain things or wanting to see or identify or to meet certain things. And when those expectations don't get met, you know, there's reactions. And so there's this whole terrain of opinions, ideas, beliefs that is in the realm of cognition, in the realm of thoughts, that very much impacts our emotional life. So the that feedback is very intertwined, very, very intertwined between emotions and thoughts. So we need to stop. So next week we'll talk about working with thoughts in daily life, which is more around, you know, in meditation, often the instruction is to, you know, we begin to disengage from thoughts by this very noticing of thoughts. And in daily life, we don't have that freedom so much. So the exploration in daily life is how do we stay aware while we are engaged in thoughts. So, next week there'll be a substitute. I'm going to be teaching my very first retreat at the New Retreat Center next week. So excited about that. And then I'll be back the following week. So see you in a couple of weeks.